Welcome to Wall Street Unspun with your host, Peter Schiff.
But it's a giant bubble in search of a pin, and it's going to find one.
Are you confused with the ups and downs of the economy and what it means to you?
Don't believe the propaganda, and that's what it is. When you're listening to an analyst on a lot of these popular financial shows, you're not getting investment advice. You're getting propaganda.
Get ready to untangle the web of misinformation provided by the mainstream media.
These firms are trying to sell you stocks. Their real clients, their banking clients, are trying to get rid of stocks.
And now, here's your host of Wall Street Unspun, the president of Euro Pacific Capital and a licensed broker with a passion for truth. It's Wall Street Unspun with Peter Schiff.
Hello, everybody, and this is Peter Schiff in person, back from a one-month absence from doing the show. 1 month. You know, the first two I missed because I was in Asia. Over at the mining conference in Singapore, and I spent some time over in Thailand having a look around over there. And then I got back, and I thought I would be able to do the show, but I couldn't get out of something that I had to attend for two consecutive Wednesdays, and it was 6 to 9, so I just could not do the show as much as I wanted to. So I'm glad that John Catalfio was able to sit in for me. He's the manager of the branch office in Phoenix. And that office is growing, too. John's recently hired another broker. In fact, I've hired another broker here today in the California office where I happen to be. So we're continuing to expand the firm. I think we've also got another broker up in the Oregon office added in the last week or two. So the firm continues to grow, in conjunction with our clients' accounts. But again, I thank John for being here, and I got some favorable feedback. Many of you have sent me some emails that you enjoyed his programs, and I'm glad, and so I know that if something comes up in the future, I've got somebody who can, pinch hit for me. Anyway, a lot has happened in the month that I've been gone. In fact, I've had so much I wanted to say, I really wish I had the mic on the show, because a lot has happened, and I'll try to bring everybody up to speed. First of all, just quick housekeeping. Again, you know, this is a call-in show. The number to call and talk to me is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. The lines are open, so do call. Also want to remind everybody that the Money Show, the Las Vegas Money Show, is approaching. It will be May, I think the week following Mother's Day, May 15th through the 18th, make sure to come. We're also going to be having our client-only conference. It's usually about a two-hour sit-down with me and a number of clients. We normally have about, I don't know, 10 or 20 people there, and it's great. I mean, it's a great time to really have a frank discussion with me and meet some other clients. I'm also going to be doing two public workshops, and again, I'm going to be doing the bull-bear debate, which last time was quite a show with me and Marty Weiss versus Joe Battipaglia and Louis Navalier. I'm still waiting for Lou Navalier to apologize to me. I wonder if maybe he'll do it this next time around. So it'd be something to see. And if he blows up again, who knows. But anyway, it's going to be great fun, and Vegas is a great town to visit. And so if you haven't been to a money show, make it this is a good time to start. And you can get the details on the money show on our website at www.europac.net. Go to scheduled appearances on the resources drop-down menu, and you can, register online. Anyway, the big event, obviously, during the time period that I've been away has been in the markets, in the movements. I mean, take a look at gold. Gold is up $80 an ounce since my last show, $80 in a month. Silver is up $4 an ounce. That's about a 40% move in the price of silver in 1 month, 40%. Oil is up $10 a barrel. Not as dramatic, but $10 a barrel. We're over $72 a barrel. Brent crude is at $74. Now, I don't know what's going on there, because normally Brent trades at a discount to West Texas. Now you got Brent going for $74 a barrel. Guess it's another conundrum. But this is, these are huge, huge moves. Huge moves. In a relatively short period of time. And, you know, I wrote this article on my website not too long ago called Hi-Ho Silver, Gold and Mining Shares to Follow. And basically, this was about a month and a half ago. And, you know, the mining stocks really started to sell off. And what was out there, people were saying, oh, this is forecasting a big drop in gold. There's going to be a correction. The mining stocks lead the way. You better sell. And I was urging people to ignore the weakness in mining stocks because I thought that that was more indicative of what speculators thought was going to happen. I thought what was more important was what was actually happening in the physical market because that's where the demand was. And today I'm vindicated because the mining stocks today, both the XAU and the HUI, hit new 52-week, multi-year, multi-decade, all-time highs. So finally we have some confirmation. Gold stocks did make a new high. Reluctantly, they were dragged higher by the metal. And again, I think the fact that these gold stocks have been so slow is again more reflective of the skepticism with which Wall Street views the metals rally. And I do think there's going to be another correction in this market. We've certainly moved very far, very fast. But, you know, we could go a little higher before that correction happens. My best guess is that we need to see stocks like Newmont Mining, which is a leader go-to stock for the institutions. I'd like to see Newmont Mining make a new high, and I think that might be a point where we see a correction. Because I think that would be a point where people would say, aha, final confirmation. Look, even Newmont made a new high. And that might be a catalyst for some profit taking. But that's all it's going to be. You know, and again, when it comes to physical metals buying, I've had the same, advice for all my clients. Who cares if there's going to be a correction? I know there's going to be one. Don't worry about it. Just buy. Just buy. Buy right now. You know, I mean, I've been doing this radio show for a year and a half. And all I've been doing every time I do this show is I tell people, buy gold, buy silver. And, when I started the show, silver was $6. You know, when I started the show, gold was $3-something. Look where they are today. You've got gold at about $640 an ounce. You got silver over $1,450. And, of course, I've been saying the same thing about oil. I started doing this show, oil was under $40 a barrel. Now it's $73. Of course, when I started doing the show, copper prices were around $1.25. Now copper's around $3 a pound. Remember on one of the shows I talked about when the copper content of a pre-1981 penny would be worth more than a penny. And the level was about $1.55. Today, any pennies minted in 1981 or earlier, the copper in those pennies is worth 2 cents. And you know, when you go, I mean, there's probably, I'd say of the pennies that circulate, probably still about 15 or 20% of them are before 1981. So if you get any of those pennies, then you can easily recognize them because they're darker. Because the new pennies are made of 97.5% zinc and only 2.5% copper. So if you see any of those pennies, hang on to them. Don't spend them. Put them in your drawer. Because now they're worth 2 cents. Next year they could be worth a nickel. Who knows? They could be worth a dime or a dollar one day. You know, you can't lose. They'll never be worth less than a penny. So just set them aside. It's the least risky investment you're ever going to find. The only problem is, you know, in order to do it in a big way, you need a lot of pennies, and so it's kind of a hassle. You know, so, you don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish, but, you know, hang on to them. You know, there's no reason to spend them. Give them to your kids. Any event, again, let me give out the phone number, trying to see if we have any callers. We don't have any callers on the line yet, but the number to call. And I want to make sure, too, that people are listening. I know the number to call is 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. But, again, the bottom line is, you know, buy gold, buy silver. There's going to be a pullback, but anybody who's been worried about a pullback, anybody that's waiting to buy a significant pullback is still waiting. Meanwhile, now look what you need. Look where these prices are. And again, I recommend the Perth Mint. The Perth Mint is the best way that I've found to buy gold. It's the most convenient. It's the most affordable. It's the most private. It's the most secure. Give us a call. We work the Perth Mint mainly out of the Newport Beach office. Any of the reps in any of the Euro Pacific Capital offices can help you buy, can sell Perf Mint certificates to you, can get you into gold, silver, or platinum. And if you're talking with a rep, you can talk to whoever you're dealing with, or you can just call up Danielle Dwyer, who does nothing but Perf, out of the Newport Beach office. And the number for the Newport Beach office, which is also on our website, is 800-993-8350. 800-993-8350. And if you've been thinking about buying gold or silver, stop thinking about it and start buying it. Because while you're thinking, other people are buying and the prices are going higher. And again, what's really happening, of course, is the dollar is losing value. That's really what's going on. It's not that gold and silver are necessarily getting more valuable. The dollar is getting less valuable. Now, the dollar index, you know, when I talk about that, people say, well, the dollar's not going down against the euro. It's not going down against the yen. Well, just because the dollar isn't sinking against other fiat currencies doesn't mean it's not losing value. All that means is those other fiat currencies are losing value, too. Now, over the month that I've been away, the U.S. dollar index has declined by about 3%, right? That's nothing like how much the dollar has declined against gold or silver or oil. But it still shows that even though all currencies are declining, the dollar is declining faster or the most. So, if anybody needs to get rid of their currency, it's Americans who have dollars. And a great way to do it is through the Perth Mint and by owning gold and owning silver. Also, I remember not too long ago on this program we talked about the pullback that we had in a lot of our oil trusts that we were buying, mainly in Canada. Well, most of those stocks have not only recovered everything they lost, but are now at new multi-year highs. I think there's only one of our energy stocks, or maybe that haven't, made these new highs. So, I mean, and if they're not at new highs, they're very close. But that pullback ended up being a fantastic buying opportunity, as every pullback has in the energy sector since I started buying back in, I think, 1999. And, I think eventually there's going to be another pullback in these stocks. I think that the next pullback is a ways away, because I think this move in oil is probably going to take crude prices to about $75 to $80 a barrel at a minimum in this move up. And so I think the energy stocks are going to have another leg up before they have their next correction. So I wouldn't wait. I would buy them. But, again, it's a good lesson. And, at some point in the future, if you're listening to this program and I'm pounding the table that there's been a pullback in the energy sector, just remember what happened the last time. Again, no guarantees, but, the trend is your friend. And I think this is a powerful, powerful move in these commodities. And people keep telling me, that I keep hearing people talk about, oh, it's a bubble, it's gone too far, it's going to fall apart. I mean, it's not a bubble. I mean, nobody is investing in these stocks. I mean, I own them, but I don't run into people that own them. I own all these gold stocks, yet not one of them is split. I don't own one gold stock that is split. Now, in a mania, in a bubble, you think you're splitting all the time because everybody's involved. They're really run up. These stocks haven't even split once. I've got some gold stocks that are up 10 times, but they haven't split. And, that's going to happen when we're in a bubble. When we're near the top of a bubble, everybody's going to own these stocks. I mean, and if you don't believe me, stop some people on the street. Ask them if they have any gold. Ask them if they have any silver. Ask somebody, hey, I've been thinking about buying some silver. Where do you buy your silver? Where do you buy your gold? I don't buy any gold. Why the hell would I buy gold? See, when we're finally at some kind of manic level with respect to these assets, and we will be there. Now, remember, back in the early 1990s, and I've got a caller on the line, I'll get to him in a minute. Back in the early 1990s, the NASDAQ was at 300, and it went to 5,000, from 300 to 5,000 in a decade. Now, if the NASDAQ can go from 300 to 5,000, why can't gold go from 300 to 5,000? I mean, why not? Now, someone's going to say, well, why should gold be at 5,000? I mean, gold doesn't pay any dividends. Well, neither did the NASDAQ. The only reason people bought shares in the NASDAQ was because stocks are going up. And the fundamental thing is, the whole time the NASDAQ was going from 300 to 5,000, companies were issuing shares as fast as they could. everybody was doing IPOs and secondaries, and the supply of shares kept growing and growing and growing to meet the demand. That's not going to happen with gold. There's no huge increase in supply coming. I mean, supplies are going to be constrained for years and years. In fact, many of the senior producers of gold are going to be buying gold to cover hedges. And many of the central banks that have been selling gold are going to have to rebuy it to get some reserves. No, I mean, if the NASDAQ can go from 300 to 5,000, who knows what gold can do? So don't think that we're high at 640. Don't think silver is high at 14.5. You ain't seen nothing yet, as far as I'm concerned. And so it's not even going to matter in the scheme of things if you buy it at 14 or you bought it at 8 or you buy it at 20 on silver or, you know. So you want to get in. And, you know, if you want to speculate, if you're in the mood to speculate, I don't consider buying gold or silver that much of a speculation. I think it's a lot safer than the alternative, which would be the U.S. dollar. But if you do want to speculate, and I speculate personally, then, you know, look at some of these mining shares. I mean, they've gone up a lot, but, I mean, they have a long way to go, in my opinion. You know, so talk to your broker about the ones that we like the best, you know, if you do want to speculate. If you want to be conservative, you know, just buy the physical metals. And also, you know, buy these other portfolios, you know, these non-dollar dividend-paying portfolios that we've been accumulating. And as I said, in the last month, the dollar has lost 3% of its value against other currencies. It's lost more of its value against basically any commodity that you're going to find, any metal anyway, and against the energy. But still, people who just decided to own these foreign assets, you know, whether they're in euros or Swiss francs or the Aussie dollar or all the Canadian dollar, you know, they've preserved some of their wealth. Anyway, let's quickly take a call. I got Joseph calling from New York. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm new to your program. I've been listening to you on the internet and the other gentleman while, you know, he was covering for you while you were away for about 6 weeks. And you also have a great website, too, very informative. For the past year, I have been physically buying gold and silver, physical gold and silver. Now, I've listened to your program and your strategy, and you say a lot of good things. I also caught your webcast on the Money Show. But my question is, if gold is rising, as I understand it, relative to all fiat currencies, why would I invest in other non-denominated or non-dollar currencies if...
What your question is basically, why shouldn't I have all my eggs in one basket?
Yes.
Well, my answer is, well, you shouldn't, because if something goes wrong, you know. Now, gold doesn't pay any interest. It doesn't pay any dividends. The stocks that I'm buying in foreign countries are paying 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14% dividends. So when you get a dividend yield, even if the asset doesn't appreciate as you believe it will, or if it depreciates, you've got real income to offset that. I mean, one of the reasons that I've been a big advocate of these strategies for my clients is I always try to think about, what if I'm wrong? You know, what's the downside if I'm wrong? If I tell somebody to put it all in gold and I'm wrong, that could be some disastrous investment advice. You know, there are people that 10 years ago saw these problems and said, put all your money in gold 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And what happened to those people, you know, over that period of time? A lot of them lost a lot of money. Maybe they don't still own their gold. They missed out a lot. But if, on the other hand, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, somebody has said, yeah, the U.S. is in trouble, the dollar's in trouble, put your money in these foreign assets, they're actually better off than had they stayed in the U.S. And that had been the case with me. I mean, the gold stocks are really moving recently, but I'm trying to take a position that even if I'm wrong, or not even necessarily wrong, because I know I'm not wrong, I could be early. You know, it could, maybe these imbalances will take longer than I believe to work themselves out. And in case I am wrong, I want to make sure that my clients are still going to get good returns on the investments that I put them in. Now, if I'm right, if I'm totally right, chances are you'd be better off if you had all your money in mining stocks and gold bullion. But I don't want to, I don't have to swing for the fences. And I don't want to take that kind of chance with somebody else's money. I might be taking it with my own money, but I'm not going to take it with my client's money. So I think, look, we can have an appropriate amount of money in mining shares and in physical precious metals. But we need to have a significant amount of money in other assets, and even if gold does go up, you know, dramatically, these other assets are still going to do well, and we're still going to preserve our wealth. You don't have to have
everything in one basket. You follow me?
No, no. I mean, what you're saying makes sense. The key is diversification. I have my 401 with my company. They match it. Plus, I figured I have my precious...
What's it invested in over there?
There's domestic equities and...
I see you probably need more gold than my clients, because my clients don't have domestic equities, at least if they're listening to me. Because domestic equities are really going down. So the more money that you have in the U.S., the more gold you need.
Right.
You know, but if you've already got a good portfolio in these foreign countries, you don't need as much gold because your portfolio isn't at risk. Because, see, it's the dollar is the currency that's in the most danger.
Right.
Most danger. Other countries that are debasing their currencies, particularly in Asia, to artificially inflate the dollar, they can come to their senses any day. And when they come to their senses, that's it for the dollar. And they'll stop inflating their currencies. But anyway, are you a client of ours?
No, no, not at all. Like I said, I've only been listening.
You need to get an account established. You know, get going. I mean, we can certainly help you buy gold and silver through the Perth Mint. It's a great way to, you know, buy it, to have some gold in Australia just in case, you know. And we can help you buy some of these foreign stocks. So just give us a call and get an account established. In fact, I'm going to play a commercial right now that'll give you the phone number.
Okay. Well, I appreciate.
What part of the country? You're in New York? Well, you know, we have our offices in Connecticut, too, so feel free to come by. We're just 45 minutes outside of the city.
Okay. I appreciate it, Peter. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Thanks for listening, and look forward to working with you.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Quick break, and we'll come back at the other end of the commercial for the rest of the show and your phone calls.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, I'm back, and the number to call, the lines are open. The number to call is 888-678-9597. Call me toll-free for your comments or questions, 888-678-9597. Now, speaking of, the Asians coming to their senses, while I was away, there were several reports of some key bank officials over in China making comments about the need to diversify out of the dollar, the need to reduce the number of dollars that they have in reserve. And, of course, they need to do this. And the market has reacted to that. I mean, part of the reason for dollars' renewed weakness, potentially, is, you know, the realizations as a result of those statements. But the problem is obviously, you know, how does the biggest buyer of dollars become a seller of dollars? How can they get out? I mean, they have so many, they're buying. And it reminded me of a joke, and I wrote a commentary about that joke, but I'll go over it on the show. Basically, it reminded me of an old joke I heard. A guy calls up his commodities broker, and he wants to go long egg futures. He's just got a hunch about eggs, and he calls up his broker, and he says, "I want to buy some egg futures." He says, "What's the price?" And the broker gives him a price. You know, the eggs are 20-25 cents contract. And he says, "All right, you know, give me 100 contracts." Anyway, a couple days later, a few days later, he calls his broker. And he says, "What's the price of eggs?" And the guy says, "Oh, they're up to 35 cents a contract. 35 cents. All right." I'll take 1,000 contracts. Buy me 1,000 contracts. And, I don't know, another day goes by, he calls up his broker. "Yeah, how are the eggs doing? What's going on with the eggs?" The guy says, "Oh, the eggs, egg contracts, they're up to 50 cents now." And the guy's like, "50 cents? I've already doubled my money. I bought my first 100 contracts at 25 cents. Give me 100,000 contracts." So he buys another 100,000. Then next time he calls his broker, you know, calls him, how were the eggs? And the guy says, well, my gosh, they're up to 75 cents a contract. It's like, 75 cents? I'll take a million contracts. And, you know, next time he calls up and he's like, how are the egg futures? And the guy says, oh, eggs, they're $1.25. Give me another million contracts. And every time he calls again, they're $1.50. He's ecstatic. I'll take another million. You know, then all of a sudden he calls up his broker and he asks, where are eggs? And he says, well, they're up to $1.75 a contract now. And the client says, $1.75? I mean, they think we're 25 cents. He says, you know, they seemed a little high. I mean, I have a feeling that they were going to be a pullback. I'd like to sell some. Let's sell 2 million contracts. And then there's a silent, like a pregnant pause. And then his broker comes back and he says, you want to sell 2 million contracts? To who? You're the egg man. Anyway, that reminded me of this situation. Because the Bank of China, they're the egg man. How are they going to sell their dollars? Tell them to who? They're the buyers. I mean, obviously the Bank of China, Japan is in there too. But you can't. You can't. This is the box that they're in. And that's one of the reasons they've been buying and buying, because they're afraid to stop. So now someone points out, hey, we got too many dollars. Duh. You know, but they have to keep piling them unless they're going to bite the bullet and let them collapse. And I actually think this is what's going to happen. I mean, they're going to have to do it. You know, there was some news today, and I put the story on my website, that in the province of Shenzhen, they're thinking about raising minimum wage by 22%. 22%. This is going to happen because obviously the cost of living is going up. Chinese money supply is expanding rapidly to buy all these dollars. And we can't expect the workers in China not to want raises because the cost of everything they're buying is going up, so they got to get raises. And so this is one of the reasons that, you know, this cheap Chinese labor is, you know, it's not going to be as cheap anymore. Wages are going to go up and up and up in China. Of course, they're going to have to pass that on to Americans in terms of higher prices. In fact, I hear these nonsense, these comments on television. They say, oh, you know, we don't have to worry about rising commodity prices anymore because it's only China that's buying. And China's just taking those commodities, applying their cheap labor, and exporting products to us. So it doesn't matter what happens to commodity prices. We're always going to get these cheap goods from China. Well, no, we're not. No, we're not. You know, in fact, and people like to blame commodity price increases on China because it makes it sound like it's benevolent. It's not like, you know, it's not because of China. It's because of inflation. You know, we're creating the inflation. We're printing all the money and sending them to China. And then the Chinese are using the money to bid up commodity prices. But also, you know, on inflation, you know, we got the news again today. You know, we got the CPI out, the PPI out this week. And, you know, again, the PPI, you know, the core was up like 2/10, 1/10. The CPI up like 3/10. But so what? You know, these articles, I read an article. Let me see if I can find it. I put it on my computer. It was a Bloomberg story. It's just amazing about inflation. Let me see if this is a story. I just clicked on it here. Let me see. Where they're talking about, yeah, here, commodity prices. Here, listen to this. I'm going to read this. It's unbelievable. Commodity prices are soaring, spurred by concern over Iran's nuclear. Blah, blah, blah. Copper prices have doubled in the past year. Zinc prices are up 150%. Crude oil touched $71 a barrel, up 40% in the last year. Gold is at a 25-year high, and silver is at its highest price since 1983. Refined sugar is also at the highest levels ever, near the highest levels. However, the surge hasn't resulted in a jump in inflation. Prices, excluding food and energy, only rose by 0.1%. The core consumer prices are only increasing 0.2%. Can you believe this? I mean, so basically they're saying prices are soaring for everything, but it's okay because there's no inflation, because this core isn't going up. Who cares what the core is doing? You know, I mean, so what? I mean, now, if they would have said the CPI isn't rising at all because higher energy prices have been offset by lower prices someplace, but that's not what they're saying. They're just saying if we don't count all the prices that went up, there's no inflation. Well, I mean, that's ridiculous. And also, I've been talking, you know, a lot of reporters, I mean, trying to explain how completely irrelevant the consumer price index is anyway today. I mean, it's nothing like the CPI in the 1970s. You see, in the 1970s, the CPI was some reliable benchmark. The reason was because it didn't change. It was a basket. It was consistent. So you were always comparing the price of the same thing, right? It was how much is this basket today, how much is it now, yesterday, next week, last year. You were always comparing a static basket of items. So it had some value. Today, the CPI is different every month. The basket changes every single month. The basket is whatever the government says it is. You know, they took out a lot of stuff that used to be in there, like housing prices, but they introduced all these other elements, like substitution, where the people who are compiling the CPI can decide, oh, the price of something went up, well, we'll just not count it. We'll just assume that no one bought it because the price went up. We'll just assume they bought something where the price went down. And they have hedonic adjusting and all kinds of stuff that they didn't have back in the 1970s. They have it now. So to try to say we don't have any inflation because the CPI says there's no inflation is ridiculous. I mean, if they had today's CPI back in the 1970s, we would have had no inflation back then either. You know? So if somebody thinks we have no inflation now, then they should think we had no inflation in the 1970s. See, the problem is that the index is no longer relevant because the politicians have destroyed the value of the index because they didn't want the index to reflect inflation. See, that's why you don't want to hire the fox to guard your hen house because the fox doesn't want to guard the hen house. The fox wants to eat the hens. So don't expect him to design a pretty good a protection system for you. The same thing with the government and inflation. The government doesn't want the public to know how bad inflation is. The government benefits from inflation, and they benefit from people's false perceptions of inflation. So do you expect them to design a CPI that's going to accurately tell you how bad inflation is? Of course not. I've used the other example of hiring the mafia to do a survey on crime. I mean, you don't expect the mafia, if they're committing crimes, you don't want them to come out with a survey that shows that crime is on the increase, which might result in a greater crackdown. No, they don't want to crack down. They want to keep committing their crimes. So they're not going to design a survey that's going to tell the truth. So you got to, you know, you got to eventually the rest of the world, the rest of the public is going to take these CPI and PPI numbers that came out, you know, this week with a grain of salt. No one's going to care. No one's going to care. You know, I wrote a commentary a long time ago that said, which do you believe, gold or the government? Well, I believe gold. I don't believe what the government tells me. You know, just because the government tells me something, I'm not just going to accept it as the truth. I mean, it's amazing, too, because most people will understand that politicians lie to get elected. Most people know that. I mean, right, you say what you have to say to get elected. Politicians lie. Well, if they lie to get elected, what makes you think they're going to stop lying just because they get elected? They want to get reelected. They lie all the time. They lie constantly. Everything they do is a lie. So if they're going to come out with an index about inflation, why would we expect it to be honest? Why would we expect a bunch of liars to get together and produce honest economic data? There's no reason. So just tune it all out. Tune it out and tune out any of the media pundits or the mainstream Wall Street firms that are asking you to pay attention to this nonsense and pay attention to what's actually happening. Gold's at $640 an ounce. That's real. Oil prices are $63 a barrel. That's real. That's inflation. The dollar's losing value, and people have got to keep clue in to what's going on, and more importantly, take action. Take action to preserve your wealth before the politicians steal it all from you. And that's what they're doing. That's what inflation is. It's theft. But anyway, we've got Steve on the line from our neighbors to the north up in Canada. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Peter. How are you? You sound pretty excited tonight.
Well, I've been out of the show for a month, so I got a lot to say.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, I know. I think my worst, word in the whole thing is core. I get sick of hearing core. Core inflation.
Yeah, you know, the core is everything they don't count. That's what's the core.
Yeah, you start hearing that. But listen, I had to give you a call. Gold, $640. Jeez, that's great, eh? You know, like, I mean, you've been sure right on that one, as a few other people have been on it. Don't listen to the top callers, you know. You want to own it, you own it. You know, we're going to get corrections here. I thought maybe it was better today, but
even most bulls weren't bullish enough. People weren't expecting this kind of rise.
Yeah.
People are starting to wake up, you know, but, you know, and I think these big price increases are scaring away some buyers.
Well,
but you know, the prices are going to keep rising until greed finally overcomes fear, and then we might have some kind of a blow off, and then we'll have a correction. But I think right now people are still looking at these big price moves, scratching their head, and they're afraid to buy.
Oh, well, yeah, well, you know, sometimes the corrections and stuff can be pretty brutal, I guess, and, but, you know, like, I mean, the higher it goes, like, I mean, last time it corrected, what did we have, $20, $25 in a day? You know, it could be $30, $40 in a day, but you gotta...
We're up $80 in a month!
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, I mean, you just gotta forget about it and, remember you're holding it for the long term, right?
You can't let a fear of a correction keep you out of a market. And the big thing is most people still don't understand why gold is rising or why, so they're still clueless. They think it's jewelry demand out of India. They think it's because of, you know, fears about Iran or nuclear power or terrorism. It's got, none of that has anything to do with it.
Yeah, well,
Terry, it's inflation, it's safe haven, it's more and more people, you know, waking up. It's like, you know, you remember that movie, you know, The Matrix, and you take that pill, and then you realize that you're living in a fantasy land?
Yeah. Yeah, well, since they stopped publishing M3, that's when gold really hit the accelerator, you know?
These pills, is the minute somebody takes that pill, they buy gold. They come out of a delusional. And they realize that, oh my gosh, I've been buying this nonsense about central bank integrity. You know, people bought into this myth in the 1990s that they didn't need gold because they can rely on central bankers. Well, never rely on a politician with a printing press because they're going to use it. No matter how much they tell you they're not going to use it, they're going to use it. And, you know, so you got to go with gold, and more people are waking up. And they've got Ben, you know, Helicopter Bernanke in there who is itching to print money. Because he thinks it's great. He thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And that's the reason that they're not reporting M3. As I said, the government is saying they stop reporting M3 because they want to save us money. They want to save the taxpayers money. The government never wants, they don't care about saving money. All the government does is waste money. So finally, all of a sudden, they're going to get frugal, and the thing they're going to get frugal on is reporting the growth of the money supply. Give me a break. Give me a break. They don't want us to know how much inflation they're creating. That's part of their scheme.
Yeah, well, I had to go back. I went back on the weekend because I had to watch it again on your archives. There was Mark Haynes, and who cares about gold?
No, I mean, it's and I said, you should care.
Yeah, yep.
I said, the price is up 30 or 40 bucks since I was on the show last time. And, of course, now it's up probably 200 since I...
I thought it was pretty funny when I saw him in the morning having to do a thing on...
Next time I'm on the show with Mark Haynes, I'm going to say, Mark, you care about the price of gold yet? And if he says no, then we know to keep buying.
Yeah.
If he finally cares about it, maybe then I'll say, well, you do care about it? Have you bought any yet? If he hasn't bought it, then it's okay to buy.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'll let you go here, and...
I need to know when I should take something off the table.
that's another one that's starting to bother me.
I'll say, Mark, when you finally want to buy some gold, let me know, because I'll have some to sell you.
Yeah. Actually, gold was starting to look a little toppy today, and then some Fed governor said something, and then boom, away she went again.
I mean, what chart are you looking at? I don't see it. I mean, this just broke out.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, just in the afternoon. Well, I mean, no, gold was acting okay. I was watching more of the XAU.
$20 today.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it was really after some Fed government that a governor said something.
The money is the thing is, the gold stocks finally took off in the last 2 hours. You know, even though gold was up, like at one point, when gold was up $14, $15.
Yeah,
mining was still up 10 cents.
Yeah, I know. The XAU was...
When gold was up 2.5%, the XAU was up less than 0.8%.
Yeah.
It kicked in. You know, it finally kicked in late in the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, but, I mean, yeah, I mean, people are still not paying attention to the price of gold on Wall Street.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that could happen, you know. Like, I don't know what's going on with these big short positions in the COMEX, you know. Like, I mean,
you know, I saw, too, the commercials are buying now. They're buying because they normally sell the rallies, but now they're buying. I think they're on the run.
Yeah.
If you're short, I mean, I can't think of anything worse than being short silver right now. Oh, my God, going up 50, 60 cents a day and you're short?
Yeah, well, I was just reading there last night that the short position in silver is like more than any other commodity. Like, I mean, if you had to deliver it, you couldn't find it.
Yeah, no, that, look, I'm glad I'm long, you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, they've raised margin.
Concern. I want, let people short it. Because everyone who shorts it has to buy it later on at a higher price. They got no choice.
They've raised margin things twice, and they and it still keeps margin. So, I don't know. But anyways, I'll let you go here. We'll just keep following this, the precious.
Now, this is the first time I've seen it down. It's off about 23 cents. It's back down to like 14.30. It was up at like 14.65, 14.70. So
yeah.
It's having a little bit of a pullback right now. So that's good for anybody who's buying tonight. You know, we've got some orders tonight to buy at the Perth Mint, so it's a good little pullback. I mean, we bought a ton of it yesterday at for people around 14.05. I mean, so we're just buying it.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me if it had a pullback of a dollar or two.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you know, everything relative. It's a smaller market, but you don't know. You don't know until it happens here. And
well, thanks for the call, and keep on listening.
Okay, talk to you later, Mike.
Let me play one more commercial, the final commercial. We've got a call on hold. We'll pick up the call on the other side of the break, as well as any other calls that might come in.
Euro Pacific Capital is an independent brokerage firm on a mission to inform its client base and prospective clients about economic and market events that could affect their financial security. Euro Pacific Capital seeks to provide solutions which are intended to provide safety, not risk. Solutions designed to protect our clients and their families from the U.S. government and its inflationary practices. The time to act is now, while you still have the opportunity to get your money out of the dollar. It's legal to do so, and after a consultation with one of Euro-Pacific's brokers, you will understand how this decision could ensure your financial security. We offer a full array of services ranging from retirement and trust accounts to complete financial planning, checking accounts with or without debit cards, and life insurance, even annuities. With our independent, no-nonsense investment advice that's a cut above the run-of-the-mill commentary that has passed for research for far too long on Wall Street, we suspect investors will find a home at Euro Pacific Capital.
Okay, we are back. And again, the number for your calls in this last segment, the final segment, it's 888-678-9597, 888-678-9597. And let's take the call from David from Florida.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, David.
I'm a client. I was on the airplane last Friday coming back from Japan looking at this International Herald Tribune and this article on will retiring boomers break U.S. growth, and it's a study the Fed has put out.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be published in July. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I know people are trying to look at, you know, the ability of the U.S. economy to support the retirement of the baby boom. And I will tell you for sure that the baby boom is not going to retire. You know, that's the bottom line. I mean, there is no retirement for the baby boom because, yes, it cannot be supported by the Ponzi scheme, that's Social Security, and their investments are going to collapse. I mean, the baby boom generation has record low levels of savings. In fact, the only generation with less savings is probably the one that followed the baby boom. But they have what they believe to be a lot of home equity. That's going to be meaningless. And, of course, they have money in an overvalued stock market. The baby boom is not going to retire. The average baby boomer is going to work every day till he drops dead. In fact, there's a lot of baby boomers who are now retired who in a few years are going to be back in the workforce because they are no longer going to have the financial means to support themselves in retirement. They're going to have to rely on their bodies and their minds and their actual work. Now, what work they're going to do, I don't really know. Maybe the Chinese will build a factory here and employ some cheap American labor. I don't know. The baby boomers, our retirement is gone. It's been blown. We blew it on big screen TVs and SUVs and granite countertops and vacations and all this consumption. And we blew it on Social Security payments to prior generations, and we blew it to pay farmers not to grow food and to build, you know, battleships and to send our military to every corner of the earth. We blew our retirement. It's gone. You can't spend your retirement and live at this both.
Uh-huh.
And have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You can't spend money today and expect to spend money in the future. We blew it. It's gone. All I can do is help individual Americans preserve their retirement by getting out of the dollar. That's the only chance you got. Because if you've got a portfolio of dollars, I don't care how many you have, you're not retiring. I mean, maybe if you're a billionaire, you'll be able to eke out a living.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just a normal guy with a, you know, with a few million bucks at a pension, forget about him. He's toast.
These international funds that are in most
of the few million dollars is toast.
The international funds that are in the 401ks and stuff, they don't really take your money out of the dollar. How does that exist?
You invest it in foreign assets, yeah, it would be. Or you invest it, you know, you can invest it in things that are non-dollar denominated.
Mm-hmm. But do other companies?
The U.S. government doesn't just go out and then confiscate the money, you know. So who knows? I mean, that's the risk that I'm not really helping people to guard against, which is the risk of the U.S. government seizing it.
Right.
Honestly. I mean, if you can say honestly seizing it, as opposed to doing it, you know, surreptitiously through inflation.
Right.
If they do it that way, at least they can't take it from you if it's out of the dollar. You know, but they can take it from you at gunpoint, or they can take it, you know, through confiscatory levels of taxation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can impose a 99% tax on capital gains or something.
Right.
But then, of course, you don't have to sell, but then they can impose a 90% tax on your dividends or something, or find some way to nail you.
Sure. All right, well, I've been very happy with the progress of my account so far, and I've got my my mother-in-law invested with you also, and she's pretty happy with it also. So
it's good that you're on good terms with your mother-in-law. You said it.
Yeah, she does anything I say, so. And you said you'd take care of it like it was your own mother, so.
All right, well, we're taking care of everybody's account like they were my mother.
Okay.
Same thing. All right, well, I appreciate your business and the referrals, and, you know, keep them coming.
All right, I will.
All right, great. Thanks a lot. Yeah, always like to take a phone call from a satisfied client, although basically those are the only kind of clients that we have at Euro Pacific, or satisfied clients, which is very rare indeed in the brokerage community. Anyway, we've got another caller on the line, Wanda, calling from Virginia. Go ahead, Wanda.
I came in right at the very end that you were saying something about pennies. Are we supposed to be saving the pennies?
Well, if you get a penny that was minted in 1981 or earlier, definitely save that one because it's worth 2 cents. The copper in that penny is worth 2 cents.
Okay.
Spend it, you'd only get a penny's worth of goods and services, but you'd be spending 2 cents worth of copper. Doesn't make any sense. Now, the pennies that were minted after 1981, those are worth about a penny right now. But if copper and zinc prices keep rising, then you might as well save those too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but right now, they're worth about a penny. But the ones from 1981, they're worth 2 cents.
Okay, any of the pennies before 1981.
And including 1981.
And including. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure thing, Wanda.
Enjoy your show.
Okay, you a client?
No.
Well, become one. Send us your pennies, but, you know, keep your pennies, but you can send us some real money. We'll protect it for you.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, one of the most interesting developments this week, or potentially ominous developments during the week, is, you know, the weakness that we've seen in the bond market. You know, the bond market yields on the 10-year bond right now are the highest they've been in, I don't know what it is, 4 years, but they're over 5%. And on the 30-year, we're up at 5.13. And in fact, when I left on this, my break, we were around, I think that we were still in an inverted yield curve where the yield on the 10-year was actually higher than the yield on the 30-year. Well, that's turned around. That's turned around now, and the yield curve is normalized and is steepening, at the moment. And I think that's going to continue. But we've had a big increase in yields. And the interesting thing is yesterday, the dollar got clobbered. And that was after we got the Fed minutes where people were interpreting to believe that the Fed was nearing an end of tightening. So we had a small rally in the bond market, but the dollar got clobbered. Today, the bond market got clobbered, but the dollar got clobbered too. So now you've got the dollar falling and bonds falling at the same time. And that hadn't been happening. I mean, more recently, if interest rates were rising, the dollar gained some strength from that. And if interest rates were falling, but now you've got the bonds and the dollar falling simultaneously. And it's happening during a period of time where gold and oil are breaking out. And so, I mean, you know, this could potentially be something big, something ominous, some type of inflection point that's happening. You know, also what's happened is the stock market has made new nominal highs, new dollar highs, and the media has been quick to point out, oh, look at the Dow, look at the NASDAQ. But they forget to point out the value of the Dow relative to something other than the U.S. dollar, which is losing value. Priced in gold, the Dow Jones is now worth about 17.7 ounces. It was worth 20 ounces at the beginning of the year. That means the Dow Jones has actually dropped 11% on the year priced in gold. Now, priced in silver has dropped far more than that. But priced in gold, which is, you know, a very good monetary unit of measure, it's down 11%. So the media is still looking at this. In fact, I wasn't watching any television today, but I bet there was more coverage of the NASDAQ's 15-point rise than gold's $20 rise. You know? But gold's $20 rise more than completely negates the NASDAQ's $14 rise. Because, in fact, in terms of gold, the NASDAQ didn't rise at all. It fell. And a lot of people say, well, you know, why should I care? Why should I worry about what the dollar is worth in terms of gold? Well, I would respond by saying, why should you care what it's worth in terms of dollars? Right? Because the dollar could collapse. What's important is what the Dow is worth in terms of the cost of living, in terms of consumer goods, or in terms of something real like gold that represents purchasing power. Because if you go through hyperinflation, right, if you go through real, real hyperinflation, I mean, Argentina style, right, I mean, what difference does it make what the Dow is worth? I mean, if the Dow is 11,000 and a cup of coffee is 11,000, how can someone say, well, I don't care about the inflation-adjusted Dow. I don't care about the Dow versus gold. All I care about is that it's 11,000. Well, all right, so what? So have your cup of coffee if you don't care, you know? You have to care. It's more important. What the Dow is worth in terms of gold is far more important than what it's worth in terms of dollars. Because we know that gold's always going to have value. It's always going to have purchasing power. We don't know that's the case with the dollar. We have no idea. There's no limit to how many dollars the government's going to print. There's no limit to how many zeros they can put on them. And Bernanke has already said that there's no limit. He's ready, you know, he's ready to put the pedal to the metal. Anyway, Mike's on the phone from New York. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about real estate. I own a home. I'm planning on putting it on the market and thinking about renting.
You and everybody else.
Me and everybody else.
People are starting to come to that conclusion. Yeah, I mean, obviously, selling a house and renting it makes a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense over the last couple of years, and it was easy to do because there were not a lot of people trying to sell, and there were plenty of buyers. Now you just have to get lucky and make sure you can find a buyer. But, yeah, a good friend of mine, I mean, he's been renting a house. He's paying $5,000 a month rent. His landlord's just putting a place on the market. He's trying to sell it for $6 million. Now, why would anybody want to buy a house for $6 million that you can rent for $5,000 a month? You know, I mean, it's obviously beyond reason. I mean, most people, if they sell their house, send me the money, I can give them enough dividends where they can rent a better house and live for free and eliminate their mortgage and their property tax. So these prices, so if you can do it, if you can find someone who'll buy your house, you can get out at a decent price, do it. If you can't, then at least borrow a lot of money against it with a fixed rate. And then take that money and invest it in something foreign. But again, make sure you discuss those strategies with the brokers because there's a lot of risks involved that you need to be aware of, and they're not suitable for everybody.
Are we at a buyer's market yet where we would have to drop our price to meet?
Depends on your area. You know, I talk to people in certain areas where they're still snapping up places, and other areas where they're sitting for 6 months a year and they're dropping the price three times and there's no buyer. So it depends. But try it. Try to sell it. And don't try to top it. You know, don't try to be the high house on the block. Price it to sell. As long as it still represents what looks like a ridiculous amount of money, you know, sell it and rent.
All right. Well, that just
whatever proceeds you get, though, don't make the mistake of leaving them in the dollar, because it could very well be that houses, as bad as they are, as bad an investment as a house is right now, as much value as houses are going to lose, it's possible that the dollar loses even more, that the cash loses even more value than the house. So whatever you do, don't leave your proceeds in cash.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe in the future down the line, maybe 5 years or so down the line, you know, home prices might be less and you might be able to get a better value at that time.
Well, they're going to be less, but I'm saying versus something like gold, home prices could be 90% less. So sell your house, buy gold, and then use your gold to buy the house or buy foreign assets or something else. Because the houses are going to get a lot cheaper relative to things other than the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right. Well, that just reinforces my thinking, so I appreciate it.
Do you have an account with us right now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great, great. How long have you been a client?
Oh, I've been a client since December.
Also, just relatively new.
Yeah, I'm a new client. Yeah.
Well, you should be making money even after just 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I'm in the positive right now. So.
You might have had a rocky February, but since then it's been.
Yeah, I got in after the bottom. I guess it was October, November. It was like low, and then it started heading up. But I'm in positive territory, so I'm in good shape.
Yeah. All right. Well, great. Welcome aboard, and tell your friends. The more people we can get in this lifeboat before the Titanic sinks, the better.
Will do.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Okay, we're running. We got a little less than 5 minutes left, so no more calls. And, I think time is, I think this week, this could be signaling something. I mean, it was a very, very dangerous week. The only thing that we didn't have happen this week is we didn't see nominal stock prices falling. Real prices fell, but bond prices really got clobbered. And, the stock market, though, didn't get clobbered in nominal terms. Of course, it got clobbered in real terms, in gold terms. I mean, but that's, I think that could come. I mean, who knows? I mean, we could see a big drop there. But even if we don't, even if the Federal Reserve can print so much money that they stop these asset prices from falling in terms of dollars, they're not going to stop them from falling in terms of everything else that you want to buy, that you want to consume. So you got to get out. Anyway, make sure, if you haven't already read the interview I did with Jimmy Rogers, it's on our website. It's on, on the front page of the website. You've got the research report on the powerful case for investing in foreign equities. And every 7 seconds it goes away and then the Rogers one appears. So if you haven't read that one, read it. Now I understand, we put it up in a rush and actually there's a lot of typos. So you got to bear with it and we'll probably fix them at some point. But remember, that was transcribed from a very long interview. And so, initially when somebody typed it, they typed it as it was spoken. And when people speak in an interview, they're not really speaking in the right grammar or the right punctuation. We tried to fix it, but I guess it didn't all get fixed perfectly, and there's a few glitches in there. So we'll try to edit it in time. But, most of it reads pretty well. And, the gist of it was a great interview. It was a great interview. And he said some good stuff. In fact, Rogers was interviewed in the paper today, and now he's saying he thinks gold will go to 1,000. So he's getting a little bit more bullish on gold than he was in my interview. But he's bullish, and he was bullish, and he's bullish on all commodities. So that's a good interview. And if you haven't read my research report, if you're not a client, certainly you can start by reading the research report, the powerful case for investing in foreign equities. You can download that report on my website at www.europac.com. .net, www.europac.net. And, make sure to come to our website, read what's on there, go and read my commentaries, read the news stories I put on there every day. There's always good news stories. I put them on every morning, good relevant stories. Read them. And if you're a client, make a point of visiting there. And then, I put little notes on the website if I'm going to be on television. I put a note. I was on NPR radio a few days ago. I don't know if anybody heard that. In fact, I got a call from my mother. She just happened to be driving down the street, and all of a sudden I came on NPR. But I was talking about gold. But those things, I don't really know when they're going to happen. They call me up. But, on the TV shows, on the Bloomberg and on the CNBC and places like that, I try to put that up on the website in advance so people have a chance to watch it. Also, remember, call up toll-free my office. It's 800-727-7922, 800-727-7922 to talk to a broker. Also, if you want to get my newsletter, if you haven't downloaded a report, you got to subscribe to the Global Investor. We've got 3 issues so far in the bag. The 4th one is going to be coming out. We got 2 new excellent recommendations in the upcoming newsletter. So make sure you're getting that newsletter. If you're not getting it, then your spam filter is blocking it. So make sure and let Europac mail through. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. I will be here again next week. I'll be doing a show again from California. I'm in my California office right now. Thanks everybody for listening. And again, this has been Peter Schiff. I'm the president of Euro-Pacific Capital. We're here every Wednesday live on shortwave and on my website, www.europac.net. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.